Good.
Amen. Hallelujah. Like I said, I got the mic on. I got this on. I say, I just need, you know what? Somebody loan me an artificial hip. Amen. I'll get right in the crowd here. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, Loomis Park Baptist Church is a wonderful church to be part of. Amen. I think of how it has stood for all these years, and it really is amazing. There's a lot of churches that are 100 years old, and you walk in, and it's 100 years old. Come on. I mean, it's just as dead and dry as last year's bird's nest, and you walk out of there thinking, why on earth did I waste an hour there? It's not that way here. Praise God. Amen. It really is. And Loomis Park Baptist Church and every other church out there that lasts, it does not happen without, listen, young people, it does not happen without faithful people. Faithful people. I thank God. I admire faithfulness so much. I appreciate Linda Kirkland's testimony tonight. I admire faithfulness in employment. You know, young people, let me tell you something about my dad. My dad worked a job for 35 years that he couldn't stand. He couldn't stand it. You say, well, he probably should have left. You know what? Providing for his family is what mattered. And how many of us could say amen to that with our parents? Listen, there used to be a day where dad worked a couple of jobs to make the ends meet. Amen. And he was glad to do it. I appreciate people faithful in employment. Can I say this? It's September. I appreciate people who are faithful in marriage. Amen. I appreciate people who, it's not just a take it or leave it. It's not a Burger King, you know, I'll just have it my way. No, they say, you know what? I'm going to be married 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years or 60 years. This month, the Stevens will celebrate, Lord willing, their 67th wedding anniversary. I'll tell you, I admire that kind of faithfulness. I admire that kind of faithfulness. You know why? Because there's quitting places along the way. Amen. I admire that faithfulness. I admire people that are faithful to their commitments. You know, Miss Scotty, you mentioned that testimony. You didn't do it for personal glory. But I admire people if they said they were going to take care of everything, that they do it. I admire people that are faithful like that. I admire people that are faithful in ministries. I'm going to preach a revival later this month, or next month rather, and we have our revival coming up. But I want to tell you, one of my dearest friends is Pastor Marty Schott. He will be the first one to tell you, when we have him come, and I have him come every 3-4 years, and he'll get up here and he'll say, I don't know why you asked me to come. Oh, I mean, you could get so many better preachers than me. He's been in New England for 30 years. That counts for 50 anywhere else. Yeah. I love faithful people. I tell my pastor all the time when we get around my testimony time, when I got saved or when I got called to preach, I'll just send him a little text, and you know what it says? Brother Don, thanks for being faithful. Yep. Young man and his wife went out to a place where they knew no one and just started carving out a church. I said, thank you for being... I admire faithfulness. I really do. You know, there's so many in the Bible that were faithful. We don't have time to go to all the references, but those of you that take notes, you know, the Bible says Joseph was faithful. It said that the keeper of the prison looked not unto anything that Joseph did. Why? Because he was faithful. I think of, there are so many others. Nehemiah's treasures were faithful. Hey, Daniel was faithful. Remember when they tried to get him, when they tried to trip him up, they said, there's no way we can get him except concerning his God. Because 3 times a day they knew he prayed. Hebrews 3:5 tells us that in all things Moses was faithful. He was faithful. Antipas is called my faithful martyr, Antipas, at the church at Pergamos in Revelation chapter 2. Can I say this about faithfulness? And listen to this, young people. Faithfulness is expected. It is required in stewards that a man be found what, church? Faithful. And you know what we are? We're stewards of the manifold grace of God. Faithfulness is expected. Faithfulness is commanded. Revelation 2:10, to that church at Smyrna, that persecuted church, the Lord Jesus says, be faithful unto death. It's the only thing That's the only thing that relieves us from faithfulness. Hey, in marriage, what do we say at the altar? Till what do us part?
Death
do us part. So faithfulness is expected. Faithfulness is commanded. And can I tell you this? This is wonderful. Young people, faithfulness will be rewarded. Jesus said to those two out of the three servants that he had given talents to, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." What did he say? He said, I made you ruler over a little. Be ruler over many. So faithfulness will be rewarded. And can I say this as a sidebar? There's too much, particularly in the teen years and in the 20s especially, and I thank God for our teenagers and our 20-somethings, but there's too much unfaithfulness at that age. There's too much unfaithfulness. Why don't you young people decide tonight that you're going to be faithful until God calls you home? You're not going to give up on church when you go off and start your career. You're not going to give up on the things of God. You're going to be faithful. Amen.
Amen.
Be faithful. Too many prodigals out there. Too many prodigals leaving and going off in the far. By the way, prodigals that were raised right. Be faithful. The context here, though, said all those good things about faithfulness. The context here in Matthew 15, if you look at it again with me, there was not a more faithful bunch than the Pharisees. Come on, church. They were faithful. They were. The scribes and the Pharisees. Notice, first of all, just by way of introduction, the problem in verses 1 and 2 in chapter 15. What was the problem? The scribes and the Pharisees came to Jesus and said, "Why did thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." The problem was they were eating with unwashing hands. Then we have the proving of Jesus. And I love this when the Lord does this in the Scriptures. "But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" That the problem was they said, "Hey, you know what? Your disciples didn't keep the tradition of the elders." And Jesus said, "You don't keep the word of God." A little bit of a difference there. A little bit of a difference between those things. By the way, we have traditions. You have traditions. Amen. Nothing wrong with traditions. I said this morning, one of our traditions is to stand, give honor to God, and read the Word of God. You know, if a church doesn't do that, it doesn't mean they're not right with God. That's a tradition. It's a good thing. Amen. But we have a problem. We have a proving. We have, I love this, a provocative statement by the Lord Jesus. Verse 6. He says there, he's talking about honoring your father and mother, and the Pharisees were trying to get out of it. I don't have time to really move that direction. But he says, "Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your traditions." He said, "You know what? Your traditions are squeezing the power out of God's word." Amen. Think about that. But God's omnipotent. He can do anything. He has bound himself to that book. He has bound himself to that book. You know what he said to Israel in Psalm 78? He said, "You limited the Holy One of Israel by unbelief." We as people, as families, as young people, as a church, you know what? We can limit God. And I'll tell you, an easy way to do it is elevate tradition above what God says. Elevate tradition. So there was a provocative statement that Jesus gave. Then he gave a pronouncement in verses 7 through 9, really where we get our text for tonight. And Jesus, that warm preacher, amen, says, "Ye hypocrites." Brother Dave, I don't think he was gaining popularity at this point, amen. "Ye hypocrites." What's he say? "Well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, This people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." And then Jesus preaches, and I don't have time to get into it, but in the next 10 verses, he preaches a shocking doctrine. He says, "It's not that which goeth into the man that defiles him. It's that which comes out. And the Pharisees were offended by their statement, and the disciples were startled. You have a shocking doctrine. You have a startled disciples. And then you have a simple declaration. Peter says, look, declare unto this what this parable means. And Jesus says this, it's not about what you put in your body. If you go, and I'm sure the reason his disciples didn't wash their hands is they were hungry. They just walked up and started eating. Amen. And you know what he said? He said, it's not what goes in your mouth that defiles you. It's what's in your heart. It's what's in your heart. And I want to, with the Lord's help tonight, take that statement in verse 8, the end there where it says, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And I want to preach a message tonight to everybody. But I want to zone in on this crowd right here. Because this crowd isn't the future of the church. They're the present. They're the present of the church right now. And I want to preach a message called faithful, but far from the Father. Faithful, but far from the Father. I want to look in our Bibles, if we could, at people who were faithful. Go to the Gospel of Luke, and we'll almost exclusively look at people in the Gospel of Luke. That'll help you, younger people, amen. Just find Luke chapter 10, amen. And find there, and maybe some of you that are young in the Lord, find Luke chapter 10. And I want to look at, five, six, seven people that are faithful. I want to look at people who are faithful. I want to look at peculiarities of people that are faithful but far from the Father. And then I want to look, if we could, at a prescription for those who are faithful but far from the Father. Point number one is people who were faithful but far from the Father. The first one we see is in Luke chapter 10 and verse number 38. We're introduced to two sisters. And you know them, amen, church family, you know them. And the first person that was faithful but far from the Father was Martha. Martha. And it says there in verse 38 of Luke chapter 10, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part. Here was Martha, and she was serving like so many Christians do, perhaps even like so many in this church do. And she got so caught up in serving that she forgot who was right there. The Lord Jesus Christ. The Son of God. The Creator of all that was. And she says, look, get me some help here. She got frustrated, didn't she? Listen, she was faithful, and all God's people said. Amen. She was faithful. And I thank God for people who are faithful. But she missed it, like we can so many times. So we see there, Martha's the first person we see. Let's continue in the Gospel of Luke and go to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, this is an easy one, amen. Luke chapter 18, we've actually got two that we'll look at here in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, and look, if you would, at verse 10. Jesus speaks a parable unto them that trusted that they were righteous and despised others. Verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Young people, look up here. A publican at the time in Bibles was the scum of the earth. He was a tax collector. Not much has changed. Help us, Lord. Amen. But what was bad about it was he took from his own people and a lot of times put a bunch in his pocket before he gave it to Rome. And so the people, they just despised publicans. And you had the Pharisee, which was an exalted position. It was a position that people respected. And then it says in verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Brother Horsch, I believe he did. I believe he did fast twice a week. If you've ever fasted, it's not easy to fast. Come on, church. Not easy to be faithful to fasting. I believe Brother Henry Schott gave tithes of all he had. I believe he's telling the truth here. He was faithful. But he was far from the Father. And we'll look at what ailed him in just a moment. All right, let's look at another one here. We're in Luke chapter 18. Go down to verse number 18. Luke 18, 18. I'll read this quick, amen. A certain ruler asked him, good master, what shall I do that I inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. From my youth up, right here, this age, right here, young people. From his youth up, he kept the commandments. Is that good or bad? That's good. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. He was faithful. He was faithful. From his youth on up, he was faithful. But he was far from the Father. He was far from the Father. Boy, we could go on. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Let me give you one. I won't have you turn there, but the church at Ephesus, weren't they faithful? Jesus talked about how they born and they had tried them that were false teachers and found them liars and all that. Nevertheless, thou hast left thy first love. They were faithful. But they were far from the Father. Luke chapter 22, one verse, verse 24. Luke 22:24. Look at it there. It says in Luke chapter 22, verse 24, and there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. Hey, these were the disciples, young people. These were the very disciples of Christ that walked with him and slept next to him and helped feed him. They were faithful. Look here. They were faithful. They were faithful. But here, you know what they were talking about? Hey, I wonder which one of us is going to be the greatest in heaven. That's what they thought. That's what they thought. It's going to be me. I bet it's going to be me. You know what? I can tell you this. I'll guarantee you this. It ain't going to be me. I can guarantee that. Amen. You know who's going to be the greatest in heaven? Jesus. Jesus. So here they were. They were faithful, but they were far from the Father. Let me give you the last one in Luke, and it's really kind of the springboard. Luke chapter 15, verse 25, please. Young people, you're doing great listening. Luke chapter 15, amen. Luke chapter 15 is the chapter of lost things. We have a lost sheep. We have a lost coin. We have a lost son. And Brother Lowell, we have a second lost son that didn't know he was lost. He was faithful, but he was far from the Father. Look at verse 25, and I know many of you know this passage. Now his elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh into his house, and he heard music and dancing. He called out one of the servants and asked what these things meant. Verse 27, and he said unto him, thy brother is come. The prodigal came home, amen, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. Faithful. How do you know he was far from the Father? Well, his next words says, and he was angry. and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him, and he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with thy friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Now listen, I sympathize with the elder brother. Not only was he faithful, but I believe Brother Herb, he probably had to pull his brother's weight while he was out living it up. But you know what? He was faithful, but he was far from the Father. And I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. If we are not careful, it can happen to you and I. We can be at these services every week, 3 and 4 times a week. We can be out for soul winning. We can be part of all the activities that are planned, and we can be faithful to everything. We can check off. I know Brother Keith and I, amen, checking off the softball sheet, and I was proud of Keith this year. Didn't miss one service in all the softball season, amen. I thank God for that, buddy, amen. But you know, it's possible to check off all those things and still be far from the Father. Let me give you some peculiarities of being faithful but far from the Father. Number one, we major on minors. We major on minors. You know who did that? Martha. Martha. She was majoring on the minors. Listen, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but that meal could have waited. That meal could have waited. Amen. The Pharisee, he looked at it and he said, I do this and I do this and I do this and I do this and I do this. And if we're not careful, our suit coats and our big King James Bible and our long skirts, ladies, we can get to majoring on minors. Not caring if people die and go to hell. Amen. Majoring on minors. Secondly, peculiarities of being faithful but far from the Father. We elevate traditions above the Word of God. God help us. God help us not to do that. Amen. To say if God says it, I don't care what the tradition says. Listen, you know who does that? We heard some testimonies. You know who does that? The Church of Rome has three authorities. The Pope, the traditions, and the Word of God. And you know what happens when the Pope and the Word of God disagree? The Pope gets to be number one. Yep. And when the traditions and the Word of God disagree, the traditions get to be number one. And so really, you know what the Word of God is? Number three. May it never be at this gospel preaching church. May we never elevate traditions above the Word of God. Thirdly, peculiarities of being faithful but far from the Father. Pride. Pride. Pride, P-R-I-D, pride. That's what the Pharisee said. He said, I do this, and I do this, and I do this, and I've never done this, and I've never done this, and I've never done this. Listen, I'm glad if God keeps you young people free from sin, I'm glad for you. But don't you dare look at that when somebody comes into this church broken and think you're better than they are. Amen, amen, church. Let's hear an amen. 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 Because you know what that is when you get to talk? I, that's pride. It's not about him, it's about how good you are. God help us, amen. If it's about how good we are, we're all in trouble. Pride. Boy, I'll tell you what, this one. Religious exercise absent of love's motivation. That's what he said to the church at Ephesus. He says, you're doing a lot of great things, but you forgot why you're doing them. You've left your first love. I say a lot. Listen, quiet down, girls. Quiet down. I say a lot. I don't say a lot about my sweet wife. I love her with all my heart. She's a great pastor's wife. A great pastor's wife. See, I never see her on Sunday morning. That's because she's serving. She's teaching Sunday school and doing Mighty Church, and she goes up there and sings in the choir, and she's a mother of three children. She's a great pastor's wife. Let me tell you something, young people. When she was your age, She went to a camp. And a camp that wasn't just necessarily our stripe. But they loved God there and they preached the Bible and they taught salvation. And I'm so thankful they did. In 1981, my wife got saved as a little 8-year-old girl. And here's what she said so many times about that little camp that's holy ground. We're going to go out that way, Lord willing, in October for a couple days. We'll pass by there, and if she wants to, we'll go see that spot. It's a hallowed spot. You know what she said, young people? She said about that camp, she said, "I learned to love God." And can I tell you this? That is the key. See, religious exercise without love behind it, God condemned that all through the Old Testament. Read Isaiah, read Jeremiah, where he talks about your profane offerings, your polluted offerings, and on we could go. Statements exalting self as a peculiarity. It's just about what I did this, and I did that, and I did this, and it makes God want to gag. Amen. Critical attitude and comments toward others. What did the elder brother say when he should have been rejoicing that his brother was home from the far country? He said, "You know what? He just wasted all that money you gave him and he devoured his living with harlots, and I've been here the whole time." He was far from the Father. Faithful. Faithful. Amen. All these people were faithful. And I said this morning, I am not trying to get you to be less faithful. Amen. Not at all. I'm trying to get you to be faithful with the right heart. What's the prescription for those who are faithful but far from the Father? The first thing every one of us has to do is we have to recognize that that might be us and repent. Mm-hmm. Repent. Pastor White talked about it last week. I talked about it the week before. Revelation 2:5. Remember from whence thou art fallen and repent. Repent is agreeing with God. It's saying, "I'm wrong, you're right, forgive me." Repentance. The worst thing is that you could do is to be like that Pharisee and think you don't need it. A prescription. If you're faithful, but in your heart you feel far from the Father, repent. Can I give you the second thing? Remember. Go back to the cross. Go back to the cross. Say, "How do I do that, Pastor?" Read the Gospels. Start in John 13 and go all the way to the end. Start in Matthew 26 and go all the way to the end. Start in Mark 14 and go all the way to the end. Start in Luke 22 and go all the way to the end. And remember what Jesus did for you. Remember how they pulled out his beard. Remember how they slapped his face. Remember how they platted that crown of thorns on him. Remember how they nailed his hands and his feet and tore open his side with a spear for your sins and mine, because he loved us. We love him because he first loved us. Why do we love God? Because God loved us first. Repent, remember. I give you one of the biggest things. And by the way, this is a message born out of personal experience. Because there's been a lot of times in my life where I've been faithful, but in my heart I was far from the Father. I give you the third prescription. Repair. Repent, remember, repair. What do you mean repair? Make time for God. Make time. Listen, young people, we got time for Facebook. We got time. Listen, we got time for all the video games and all that other stuff. We got time for that. And listen, I'm not against that in its place, properly supervised. I don't think there's anything necessarily evil or sinful about that. But I'm going to tell you, what it does is it crowds out God. Amen. You got to repair. Elijah, after he had come and the famine and Ahab had been in charge, and after those crazy false prophets are cutting themselves and they couldn't get anything to happen, the first thing Elijah did was he repaired the altar. Right. That's what we need to do. Repair the altar. Repair our relationship. Make time for prayer and Bible study and quiet time with God. Recommit. Thirdly, Recommit. The Pharisees and the scribes came to Jesus and they said, what's the first and great commandment? Jesus didn't hesitate. He didn't have to scratch his head. He didn't have to call a committee meeting. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. This is the first and great commandment. Why don't we recommit, all of us, why don't we recommit to love God and put Him first in our lives? See, the purpose of this message is that we continue to be faithful, but that we be faithful and right next to the Father as we're faithful. We would have His heart about things. You know, it's possible to be faithful and not be rewarded at all at the judgment seat of Christ. You say, how do you get that? 1 Corinthians 13:3 said, Paul said, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Wood, hay, and stubble. Being a lot of wood, hay, and stubble, being faithful, but far from the Father. A lot of wood. Listen, you have a big wheelbarrow full of wood, hay, and stubble to bring to the judgment seat of Christ. Here you go. Back up that semi of wood, hay, and stubble. Amen. And pour it into the furnace. It's coming out nothing. Let's have God's heart. Let's have the Father's heart. Let's be moved with compassion. Let's care whether people die and go to hell or not. Not just religious exercise. I'll close with this, a story of a preacher who had a beautiful little girl. And he would, as was his custom in his home, he had his study in his home. His little girl would, he would start reading and begin to start studying and trying to get alone with God. And his little girl would come in, she'd say, Daddy, give me a quarter. Daddy, the ice cream man's coming by. Daddy, give me an ice cream. One day she wore his patience thin and he was in his study reading and she came in the room and she snuggled up real close to him and he turned around quickly and kind of scared and says, well, what do you want this time? And she began to cry and she said, I don't want anything this time. I just wanted to tell you that I love you. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. It's high time we got back to saying to Jesus at some point, I just wanted to tell you I love you. And serve Him with that kind of heart. I just wanted to tell you I love you. Say, does God like, I mean, He's God. Does He like hearing that? Well, you're made in the image of God. How do you feel when somebody comes up, hugs you, tells you they love you? Tell you what, you feel like you could take on the world. Amen. Faithful, but far from the Father's heart. Doesn't have to be that way. We can be close to the Father. How do we do it? We repent. Amen. We remember the cross. We repair our relationship with God. And we recommit ourselves to loving God. To making the motive of everything our love for God. Tell you what, when that's the motive, everything else takes care of itself. We love coming to church. We love talking to people about Jesus. We can endure trials because of the love of God and the love we have for Him. Faithful but far from the Father's heart. Father, we pray Your blessing now upon this time, this invitation. Lord, I pray for these young people, especially, Lord. I pray that You would help them to not only be faithful all their lives, but to have the Father's heart.